know that might seem like sort of a strange reading and ending on sort of a somber note, but you know what? These last few weeks since Christmas, we actually have been pulling these readings from the Revised Common Lectionary, which, raise your hand if you've heard of the Revised Common Lectionary. This is something we use in the Presbyterian Church, but really in churches all over the world, from Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and it is pre-selected Bible readings that are from the Psalms and the Old Testament and the New Testament that we can use to guide our reflection together and to know that churches around the world are thinking about the same scripture passages. So this is what was recommended today from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. And we have been focusing on the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures these past few Sundays because I love how there's this theme throughout of being called and hearing from God. So first we heard about the prophet Samuel, and then the prophet Jonah, and now this Sunday we hear Moses' speech to the people about prophets in general, about prophets that will be raised up among the people. So Moses was not necessarily a prophet, but he was the leader for his people for 40 years of wandering in the desert. Now, the people got freed from slavery, and they expected to just come into their promised land and be able to settle down, but it had been 40 years, and they still had not yet arrived in the promised land. But they were on the verge. They were finally going to be able to settle down and stay in one place and build a real life for themselves. And they were going to need to govern themselves differently because they were no longer wandering. They were going to need to worship differently. So everything was about to change for them. And Moses himself was not going to live to see this next transition. He knew that. So Deuteronomy has all of his last words to the people to guide them before he passes away. And primary among his last words are these words that you heard, this sort of strange passage here about knowing who to listen to. Because prophets were going to be raised up among them to help them continue to follow God in this new stage of their life together. Up to this point, Moses had been the main spokesperson for God and God's leading. But without him, the people were starting over, and it was going to be scary for them. We know that during scary and uncertain times, we can all fall prey to some pretty shady characters and leaders. It's a prime time for someone to swoop in with their own agenda and play off of people's fear and lead them in the wrong direction. So this would have been a prime time in Israel for leaders to come in and tell them, God says to do this, God says to go there. So how would the people truly be able to know who speaks for God and who speaks the truth? That's what this passage is about in Deuteronomy. And there are a couple of questions that I think we need to think through together. Firstly, what is a prophet? We talked about the prophet Samuel, the prophet Jonah. What is a prophet? Now that we're thinking through specific examples, we've touched on this point in recent weeks, but I want to remind you of it, that a prophet is not a fortune teller. It is not someone who merely predicts the future. In fact, in verse 14, right before this passage in Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people that they actually are not allowed to consult soothsayers and fortune tellers the way that other nations do, because they are different. For them, God would raise up prophets. So more accurately than a fortune teller, a prophet is a truth teller. It's someone who looks at everything that is happening and helps us all to understand it more deeply on a new level. They imagine what the world could be if we really lived like God was in charge. So prophets have this imagination for not just what's going to happen in the future, but what could be if we followed God more closely. You all might have heard of some of the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. Those are called the major prophets, and they wrote a lot. They prophesied a lot. But maybe less familiar to you are some prophets like Nahum and Obadiah and Habakkuk. They even have tough names to pronounce. There would be no shortage of prophets in Israel's future. In fact, the later book of 2 Kings says that one of the kings at one point in their history together had 400 prophets at his disposal to interpret the times for him. So the problem was not finding a prophet. There were lots of them. It was finding prophets who truly speak for God. So how can we tell a true prophet from a false prophet? Moses acknowledges that prophets may come who do not speak what God told them to speak, and that there would be consequences for those prophets. But how can we, the people, tell the difference? How can we know what is the truth in a world with so many competing messages and distractions? If we were to judge by which messages in our world are the loudest and get the most airtime, we would think that God wants us all to be rich, fat, and happy 24 hours a day, wouldn't we? We would think that God wants us to be better than our neighbor and impress our neighbor, rather than to love our neighbor and take care of our neighbor. A lot of messages, even religious ones in our world, they promise blessing if we give our money to them, if we buy their book, if we follow their simple five-step plan, right? And unfortunately, I think we can spot some false prophets in our world if they're just telling us everything that we want to hear, everything that sounds easy or too good to be true, if they're making it all sound like one big transaction. So the false prophets out there may be saying, if we do this, we'll get that. Also, a true prophet does not seek to be a prophet. So a true prophet is not trying to be popular or powerful. In fact, they know that their message is going to be hard to hear. And those are just some of the ways that we can start to discern who might be real and who might be false, the prophets in our world. But here are some other questions. Why should we, in this day and age, even care about prophets? Do we even believe that God still appoints special people to challenge us, to lead us on his path? Do we believe there are prophets today? And who are the prophets in our lives, in the modern world? How do we hear God nowadays? How do we hear God nowadays? There's a film that was made a few years back called Bruce Almighty, starring Jim Carrey, and it showed the story of an ordinary guy with ordinary troubles, but they were all sort of piling up at once, one of those kinds of stages in life, where all in the span of a day, Bruce loses his job as a reporter. He publicly makes a fool of himself, he gets mugged, and he gets into a huge fight with his girlfriend, and he goes driving in a terrible thunderstorm, and he starts railing at God, yelling at him. He says, "Okay, God, you want me to talk to you? Then talk back. What should I do? Give me a signal." And as he's saying these words, there is a glowing road construction sign in front of him that says, "Caution ahead." But Bruce doesn't notice it. He keeps on yelling and pleading and complaining. He says, "God, come on, listen to me. I don't feel like you're listening to me." And a large construction vehicle pulls in front of him, going really slowly. And it carries in its bed all kinds of signs. Signs like, "Stop," "Wrong way," "Dead end," "Do not enter." But he doesn't notice it. And Bruce just gets irritated and tries to swerve around it, saying, "Oh, come on, Lord, I need your help. I need a miracle." So he then loses control of his car and spins off the road into a lamppost. And you can imagine he's been asking God for help, pleading. This happens on top of it. And so now Bruce is furious and he's disgusted at God. And he says, "Fine, the gloves are off. Come on, let me see a little wrath. Smite me, almighty smiter." Have you all seen that? It's pretty funny. He says, "You're the one who should be fired. Answer me." He's really, really angry. And I don't mean to laugh. I sort of laugh because I think a lot of us have been there. We say, "You're the one that's doing a bad job. You're not listening to me. I'm reaching out and you're not even helping me." But right then, Bruce's pager goes off. And he later finds out that it's God himself trying to reach him. But Bruce is so focused on his own ideas of how God must work that he cannot see God right in front of him, trying to work in his life, trying to reach out to him. So isn't it the same thing with us? What about us? How is God trying to get our attention nowadays? What are we missing? What could be the signposts in our lives, but we just maybe see them as distractions or irritations or trials to swerve around? We don't want to listen to them. That's not what we think is from God, but maybe they are signs for us. And how on earth do we recognize all of these things when we live in an era now of this thing called fake news? A term that actually I found out this week was coined 2017's word of the year because it gets used so much in public debate. And it was popularized, of course, by our nation's president, who went so far as to rank the fakest of the fake news. He put them in rank because he's overwhelmingly covered in a very negative light. And now there's leaders around the world who use this term, fake news, to deride stories about what they do and try to invalidate them because they make them look bad. This term, this idea of fake news out there gets used so much that any one of us, an average citizen, is left with our heads spinning. What is real news versus fake news? What is good news versus bad news? Well, just this week, Pope Francis weighed in on this too. And he also condemned this fake news, saying that such crafty deception has been around since the serpent first spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden. But then he went a whole different direction. He said that this fake news thrives in our world because now more than ever, we only allow ourselves to hear people in our homogenous circles. We stick to our bubbles, our parties, our kind of people, and we only hear what we want to hear. He said that efforts for any of us average citizens to inform ourselves are also efforts to form who we become. And that, I love this, he said, peace is the true news. Peace is the true news. But it goes to show that what any of us take in and regard as real or fake, what any of us regard as truth or a word from God, it's really important. Can we take the risk of opening our eyes and ears to messages that maybe we don't want to hear, from places we don't want to hear them? Because we as people of faith are promised a gift of something new since Jesus, something that in the days of Moses and the prophets, they didn't talk about. We have this now, this gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that guides us and leads us if we pay attention, if we let go of our own wills. If we truly want to know what God wants, regardless of what we want, then maybe we might be able to hear God. We have a choice. We can live as though God were far away, as though God were no longer active in the world, no longer speaking. We can live as though all news is fake news, that there's no truth to be found. Or we can live open, expectantly, listening for God's presence in all the corners of life. It's easy in this day and age to point the finger and blame people, to say, see, those politicians, those news sources, those people are the reason why everything is so far from God. They're the reason I'm so far from God. But God is trying to speak to every one of us. And if we do not hear God, that is our task to take on. Perhaps even we ourselves might be being called to be a prophet to our community or our family or ourselves. Is that possible, to be a prophet to ourselves? Maybe God has a hard truth for each of us at each stage in life, something that we have to work on and chew on and work with God on. And part of our walk is learning to see the world as God sees it so that we can receive those kinds of truths. I think that psalm we read this morning gives us the ultimate piece of good advice for hearing God's truth. It says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that doesn't mean being afraid, like hiding under the covers or running away like Jonah did last week. Fear doesn't mean finding someone to blame or trying to keep ourselves safe by hurting someone else. Fear of the Lord is a whole different kind of fear. It's a healthy sense of awe and wonder, a sense of hugeness. I've always compared fear of the Lord, and now more than ever, to that overwhelming feeling you get when someone hands you a newborn baby to hold. Not even a baby as big as Victoria. I'm talking about fresh in the world, a few days old, a newborn baby. Something so small and fragile and new. Something so beautiful. And you think, this was made inside of that woman right there. It's an amazing miracle. And when you have the chance to hold a tiny baby just having entered the world, you do feel some sense of fear. You're cradling him or her so gently. It's fear mixed with joy and awe. That sense of all that God can do, all that God can create out of nothing, and even just this tiny, fragile package. And I think that's the kind of fear of the Lord that is the beginning of our wisdom. With that wisdom, I pray we would all hear God in our lives today. Amen.